This is Gene Montristelli. Welcome to the Tapping Q&A podcast, recorded live to tape from Williamsburg in Brooklyn. This is episode 175, originally aired June 17th, 2015. Hi, everyone. I hope this finds you well wherever you are and whatever time of day you're getting a chance to listen to this. Thanks for spending a little time with me today. Before we jump into today's show, I just wanted to mention two opportunities for you. The first one is, a couple of weeks ago, I made an announcement about a new three-month coaching program that I am offering. If you'd like more information on that, simply go to tappingqna.com/3M. tappingqna.com/3M. That's the number 3 and the letter M. If you want more information, there are only 2 spots left in that. So if that's something that you'd like to do, check out the information, drop me a note so we can have a conversation to see if it is a good fit for you. The second is a story about the sponsor of the Tapping Q&A podcast. So in this particular interview with Brad Yates, I talk about doing dishes or not doing dishes. And I actually had an interesting thing happen to me this week while I was doing dishes. I have recently purchased a whole new set of pots and pans, and in the process of upgrading, I got a set of pots and pans that not only can you use on the stovetop, but you can also use them in the oven as well. And so the handles are metal for that reason. And so I wasn't paying very close attention because they were a new set, and I was making sure that I was cleaning them very quickly because I'm in the process of making sure I take really good care of this new investment. And because of that, I managed to grab onto the metal handle that was still very, very hot, and I burned my finger. But what I was able to do is I was able to wander into my bathroom and grab a little bit of the pain relief miracle, which is created by my buddy Jason Layard. I sprayed it on my finger, and a day later, you can barely tell that there was a burn at all. Jason currently has a special deal where he's giving you a third off your first order just for listeners of this podcast. And that's what all advertisers say. This is the only podcast that Jason supports, and he doesn't offer a discount to anybody else. So if you'd like to get that discount, all you need to do is go to tappingqna.com/pain. It is an all-natural solution that is handmade by a buddy of mine that works for burns, scrapes, bruises, because it's all natural. It's awesome for your pets. And like I said, your first order is a third off only for listeners to the Tapping Q&A podcast. I want to thank Jason for sponsoring the podcast, which makes it easier for you to continue to get this high quality podcast without any charge. So today I have a conversation with Brad Yates. Brad has been a frequent guest. Brad is a guest that people love hearing from. And it's always a delight to have a conversation with Brad. When we got on the phone before we started the interview, I was just chatting with him to see what was really on his mind and what he was thinking about. And he started talking about this idea of people being really busy and doing tasks to avoid the important stuff and the things that feel scary. And I really appreciate that just because we are being busy does not mean that we're being productive. And just because we're doing work doesn't mean that we're doing the right work. So here is a conversation with Brad where we talk about how we fill our time to avoid the important stuff and how we can use tapping to make sure that we're clearing up the emotional issues that we should be clearing up and taking the action that we really want to be taking. Enjoy my conversation with Brad. One of the things that I am hearing from my clients is they're talking about the fact that their lives are fuller and fuller and fuller, and they're busier and busier and busier, and they feel like they're getting less and less done. And at first, that kind of on the surface feels like a bit of a contradiction, but when we dive in, I can see how that happens. Have you, and the folks you're working with recently, are you bumping into anything like that, or what do you notice when we're dealing with something like that?
Yeah, I find that it's a really brilliant way that we avoid getting to some place that we're not sure we can handle. You know, whether it's a fear of failure or a fear of success, if we can use up our time on things that that aren't moving us forward, you know, I think of it as like running down the clock. Mm-hmm. It's like we know we only have just so much time till the whistle blows and we're done for the day. And but we know we also can't just sit there and twiddle our thumbs or play Candy Crush. Some people do, but not everyone has luxury. There's someone watching over the shoulder and looking to see if you're busy. So it's like, okay, how do I use up the time so I don't have to face what I'm afraid of, but at the same time appear that I'm doing due diligence and I'm getting stuff done. And fortunately, or unfortunately, we're incredibly brilliant. Mm-hmm. There's a genius inside of each of us, and we find ways to fill that time and come up with all kinds of busy work so that we sit there and we go, I know that I was busy. I know that I was doing stuff. I know I was productive, and I just didn't move anywhere forward.
You know, I've even seen with myself that I've taken that to such an extreme that I will do something to fill some time, and I'll look over at my to-do list and see that it's not on my to-do list. So I will add it to my to-do list so I can then cross it off. Because,
brilliant.
Yes, I have been successful. Look at me. I have crossed something off my to-do list. It wasn't on the to-do list. It is now. I've crossed it off.
Right, because it's safer than all the other things that were actually on the to-do list.
Yeah, and I think that's I really like the way that you frame that, that there is the sense that we need to be accomplishing something either for ourselves so we can cross things off our to-do list or so that we can look like we're being a productive member of the team at work. And it really is this amazing choice of safety, of standing clear of what's going on. I always think that I don't do the most important thing on my to-do list. I do the safest, most important thing that is on my to-do list. And oftentimes that's anything but important, but it's the one that bubbles to the top because I can do it without it being this huge emotional cost.
Right, right.
And so then as we step into that, you know, I don't think that maybe people necessarily name that right away. But they do name the sense that, you know, I'm being busy, but I'm not really being productive. I'm just running down the clock. I'm ticking things off. If someone just at least comes to that realization going, something's not right here, what then is the way that we step in this? What's the logical process that allows us to start breaking this apart so that we can move to a place where we're actually doing stuff that we think is important?
Yeah, and it's looking at these things that if we get to the awareness, there's something going on here.
Yeah.
there are items on my to-do list that I'm not getting to, and there's a reason for that. So, and it may be a while before, you know, even the first step may be allowing ourselves to get to that awareness and going, okay, wait a minute, let me take a moment here and recognize, am I doing busy work or, you know, and am I in a place of avoidance, a place of resistance, or, you know, it may be, okay, things have come up that are now taking precedence. They're more urgent than the things on there. But it's allowing ourselves to have that awareness of, you know, I am just avoiding something. Mm-hmm. And then looking at that item on our to-do list and just maybe taking a rating and saying, okay, on a scale of 0 to 10, how much resistance do I feel to this? You know, maybe closing our eyes and imagining ourselves doing that task or even imagining the intended outcome, which part of us would say, oh, it's a very positive intended outcome. But if we really take a moment to look at it, there may be something inside that says, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I can handle it. You know, if I get that done, then there are going to be other expectations of me. There's going to be something else that's going to replace that. You know, as long as I can keep putting that off, then somehow I'm buying myself some time. And so we look at where that resistance might be, and then we tap on that.
And I think, you know, as just in the short time as we've talked about this, you know, I think one of the things you said that was really important in that is we're resisting a task because, you know, it might be dangerous. There might be resistance to the task, or there might be resistance to completing the task. And resistance to completing the task in a positive way or completing the task in a negative way. You know, there could be resistance to me being successful and there could be resistance to me failing. Yeah. And so all of a sudden, as we do that, assuming we've given ourselves the time and space, and I think that's really important to set that aside, to say, okay, I'm just going to reflect on my day. What are the things I'm resisting? Okay, now imagine myself doing this. Now all of a sudden we have three lenses to look through when we're looking at that task emotionally. How is this a penalty or painful to do it? How is it a penalty or painful to complete this successfully? Or how is this a pain or a penalty for me to do this and not be successful at it at all?
Right, right. And not even looking at the fact that, okay, if it's on my to-do list, not getting it done is already not doing it successfully.
Right.
So right. This idea of putting it off and going, well, if I attempt it, then I'll fail at it. It's like, well, I'm already failing. So I would even recommend to folks listening right now, go ahead and start tapping either your collarbone or different points so that you have them, because part of us is naturally going to resist this and go, oh, yeah, I don't do that.
Right.
Or I don't have time for that. Or this, because, again, we're geniuses and we find all kinds of brilliant ways to avoid looking at it. So even in this moment right now, starting to clear stress so that we have a moment to say, all right, what might I be potentially avoiding? Where might some resistance be? And why am I playing this game with myself? To try to protect myself. You know, that self-sabotage is self-love. It's just misguided. So we're trying to protect ourselves. And so I'm just tapping so that we clear that and we can start to look at it and go, okay, I might be playing this game with myself.
What do you do then, I guess, as I think about that, and I don't know if this is answerable, what happens if we're not able to get a clear sense of the tasks that we're resisting doing? Because what if we're so brilliant at this that we just know that we're not moving forward in the right way, but we can't even name the tasks that we're resisting because we have them so far hidden, they're not even on our radar.
Right. And so it may simply be a matter of looking at, okay, what do I have in front of me? Mm-hmm. What do I know how to do? And sometimes that lack of clarity is part of our brilliant plan to... this came up at a workshop I was just presenting, this whole lack of clarity. If I don't know what it is that I'm supposed to do, then I don't have to do it.
Right.
I don't have to face this. So that may be where it is. And so, again, asking folks to just close your eyes, go inside, and look and see, okay, is there a task that I have on my to-do list that I'm avoiding? Or am I not even allowing myself to see? I'm just coming up with, I just do busy work because I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And then just sitting there and letting that go in there and thinking about, okay, what do I want? And where is the resistance around that? Because there's some fear stopping me from knowing what to do. Because what to do is pretty easy to find out. For anything that we want to achieve, you know, if you want to make money, if you want to be happy, if you want to lose 50 pounds, if you want to learn how to do a bobsled run, we have Google.
Right.
How to do pretty much anything you could think of doing is available. And we sit there and go, gosh, I just don't know what to do. Maybe a little bit of resistance and avoidance going on there.
And as you were talking about that, I had this image of us, you know, doing some sort of busy work and task and seeing that sometimes the penalty isn't around doing something new and pursuing this new goal, but the penalty or the pain relies around losing something that we are that is part of our identity.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that that there's this particular task that I always do because I'm the guy who always does that. Therefore, I have this established role inside of the community that is my family, the community that is my workplace, wherever it is. But, oh, you know, Gene, he's the guy that does X.
Yeah.
And it gives me a sense of place and space. And if I start letting go of some of those things to do the things I really want to do, the things I long to, the things that are best for me, some of the penalty is just not doing the thing I've always done, which is predictable, which is safe, but also might be who I am, at least in the eyes of those around me.
And I get certain rewards for it. Mm-hmm. You know, I get an attaboy every time I do it. And it's maybe a low reward task, but it's got reward. So again, folks listening, be tapping, because that's a brilliant point you brought up. to look at that where it is, you know, and sometimes we delight in that. It's like, you know, when the kids and my wife go off to school and work, I do the breakfast dishes. And sometimes, like, if there's something, you know, those can wait sometimes, but if there's something that I'm avoiding, it's like, oh, well, I better get the dishes done because, you know, people expect me to have that done and this and that. So, yeah, that's a, you know, one of those places where we can brilliantly justify coming up with busy work. And, you know, if we even come from the standpoint of we create our reality and we manifest situations, we're sending energy out to manifest things that it's like, oh, okay, here's one of those things that I'm, you know, that's part of my identity, that's that I'm expected to do. And so I'm going to arrange it such that these things come up. So in order that I don't have to face whatever it is that I really probably should be getting done.
And it's funny that you use the example of doing the dishes. This morning I woke up early, and just because it's springtime now and the sun is up early, and I didn't have to be to a meeting for a little while. And I walked into my kitchen and it was a disaster. I mean, literally 3 days of dirty dishes piled up, and I live by myself. And one of the things I recognized when I looked at all those piled up dishes, I'm like, yeah, I've been super productive for the last week. Like, I've just had my head down working on this task and I've just been knocking things out. Mm-hmm. And the, oh, I'm going to be productive and clean my kitchen thing never crossed my mind, because I was committed to and I was engaged with the things that I'm really supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And the busy tasks weren't desirable in any capacity at all. They had to be done because I needed to clean dishes for breakfast this morning so I could eat. Mm-hmm. But that's what it came to, that it was like the exact opposite of that there was this reflection of that whatever I'm working on right now, I'm really into.
And that's the thing is, when we clear our resistance, and this may have been a project that you were so excited about, you had no resistance to it. When we but sometimes these projects that we look at and we're finding everything we can possibly come up with to avoid it, if we allow ourselves to get into it, it's like, oh yeah, and we get in the zone, and all that stuff that we thought we need to get done, we find can be put aside until it's needed.
Right.
You know, it's no big deal. You know, if you're living alone and it's not no one else again upset about the dishes, then, you know, fine. You'll get them done when you need to have some dishes and all that, you know. Where so many folks would go, oh, well, yeah, I should be working on that project, but I've got to get the dishes done. And recognizing, okay, how important is it? And being able to balance out the priorities.
And I think you said something really important in there around this idea of clearing the resistance to start the action. I think sometimes we have this sense of completing an exceptionalism, that if I'm going to work on this thing, I need to work on it until it's done. And it can be, you know, sitting down, I'm going to tap on this resistance, and there's this big resistance, and I might find a big core issue, and I might not, but it might be something that's scary. And there can be a part of us that doesn't want to step into the middle of dealing with that because we're afraid, well, I'm not going to get this done. I'm not going to clear enough of this issue. But we don't have to clear the issue. We simply have to clear the issue enough to start the action, because oftentimes once we're into it, like I'm in the middle of this task and I'm going, and it's when I put my head up to breathe after working on it for 45 minutes, I go, oh yeah, maybe that was a little scary. But in the moment, because I was making progress, those fears melted away.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like in time of procrastination, I'll often talk about like the little scales of justice. Mm-hmm. And you have, you know, the reasons for doing it and the reasons against doing it. And if you're not doing it, that means that there's more weight on the side of mm-hmm. reasons against. We don't have to get it to where there's nothing on the scale of reasons against. We just have to shift the balance enough.
Yeah.
So that it's enough. You don't have to get it right. You just got to get it started. That's why sometimes with exercise gurus will say, just commit to getting on the exercise bike for 1 minute.
Right.
That's all you have to do. Knowing that once you get on it for 1 minute, it's like, all right, as long as I'm here. But committing to 20 minutes is intimidating. And I have images of Michelangelo's David all around me. It's like, it took him 4 years to sculpt this. This is right. not something that he had to... Okay, once you get started, you can't stop until you're finished.
You know, and it's funny you say that. I have a friend of mine who does health stuff, and in the beginning, she doesn't even recommend people get on the treadmill and work. She says, go stand on the treadmill and have your morning cup of coffee.
There you go.
So you don't have to turn the machine on. You simply just have to get into the proximity of it and realize that it's not a scary thing.
Yeah, and get comfortable in that space.
That's right. And if you do that for a week, that's enough. And I guess it's really easy. It's really easy to turn any of our beliefs and any of our emotions into digital, like a switch. It's an all or nothing proposition.
Yeah.
And the instant I experience it, on a subconscious level, I automatically assume this is what my experience is, full stop, versus this is what my experience is in this moment with these particular inputs. And if I'm able to shift it just a little, my disposition shifts just a little, which might be enough to take action. It's not going to go away, but it's enough to get me heading in the right direction.
Yeah. And again, recognizing it's how brilliant we are, is that if there's something inside us that says, I'm not sure, there's something about it that, you know, as you said, the penalty, there's some potential threat, then I'm going to create this all or nothing scenario that where I can absolutely justify not moving forward, even though part of me knows, man, that theory would never hold up in court.
Right.
It's like, no, I'm holding on to this, and just as having compassion with ourselves and going, okay, it's not because I'm bad or stupid. There's just something inside of me that is reacting to some old fear. And that's why it's so great that we have the tapping, that we can start to clear that stress and start to look at it and go, okay, you know, it's not the big bad that I think it is. And some of these arguments that I'm coming up with may be a little far-fetched. And there's some wiggle room to start to move forward and find out little by little, you know, dipping our toe in and going, oh, I can handle this. This is okay.
So we started out looking at just giving ourselves the opportunity to take a moment and just reflect and give ourselves the space to go, okay, is there something that I'm steering clear of? You talked a little bit about visioning myself having success and see where my resistance is. We also talked about taking these actions and seeing what's the penalty for doing it, what's the penalty for being successful, what's the penalty for not taking action. Inside of that stuff, do you see... is it something that's consistent that we're going to see a trend running through what we do, or is it really an issue by issue, moment by moment type of thing?
Well, you could put it under a general heading of resistance, and obviously different little aspects of it that will come up, you know, depending on what it is that we're afraid of, what we're looking at. Is it a fear of a positive outcome? Is it a fear of a negative outcome? Is it simply an identity thing of, I see myself as someone who does this, and maybe I don't see myself as someone who's good at setting priorities? You know, well, a lot of people say that, I just can't set priorities. Well, you could.
Yeah.
if you didn't have resistance.
Yeah.
That's it's like saying I'm lazy. It's not a positive term to use for ourselves, but it's an accepted. It's something that we all understand, but it's never true because it's just a way of covering up. I'm avoiding things because of fear and resistance.
It's amazing how powerful that identity piece comes.
Oh yeah.
You know that when I generalize one of my experience into who I am, then I do a very good job of acting that way all of the time.
Because it becomes safe.
Yeah.
And it's
predictable,
and especially if I get buy-in from other people. And then if they have that expectation of me, even if it's a negative expectation, at least it's a safe place.
Yeah, it's interesting how much of this just continues to land in this place of safety. And I guess for me, one of the resistances of diving in this capacity is, if I go in and I dig into this, I need to acknowledge head on the places that I failed. You know, I have to go, you know what, for the last 6 months, I should have been moving forward, and instead I was metaphorically doing the dishes the whole time, and I was busy and I wasn't productive. And I think it's really important for us when we're addressing something like this to give ourselves space to recognize, okay, I have been making choices that have been rooted in me trying to be safe.
Absolutely.
You know, and
I was
like
taking care of myself. I was doing the best I could
yeah.
at that time in with my beliefs and my programming. In each of those moments, I was doing the best I could. Something inside me said, look, whatever that other task is, if it needs to get done, it'll happen, but the dishes need to get done now.
Yeah.
And my programming is saying, this is the safest place, this is the best choice in this moment based on where my head is at. And so having that compassion for ourselves and looking at it and going, okay, I don't have to be mad at myself or blame myself. In fact, when we beat ourselves up for that, then we're just wasting more time. We're just running the clock down with, oh, but it's justifiable because, you know,
right.
we're supposed to beat ourselves up for our lack of productivity, et cetera.
And I find it really interesting that when we're in a circumstance where we do create the space to give ourselves forgiveness and give ourselves the space to be compassionate with ourselves, some of those behaviors are let go simply in that moment because we're still holding on to them because it's justifying the fact that we've always been doing them. And if I let them go, then I have to admit the fact that I made a mistake. But instead of saying I made a mistake, I say, you know, if I could do it over, I might do it differently. But the reason I was doing it was because it was the best choice that I could make. And just tapping on that a little bit, all of a sudden my system goes, okay, we can now let go of this because letting go of this doesn't mean we have to admit this horrible failure. Letting go of this simply means we've recognized what's in the past and I can move to the next thing. So I'm no longer having to self-justify where I've been by keeping up the facade and going in the same direction.
Yeah. You know, when we look at those past things and we say, you know, oh, I wish I could do that over again. And we're saying, knowing what I know now,
mm-hmm.
I would make a different choice. But knowing what I knew then, that was the only choice that I could make.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I had to do it over again, if the circumstances weren't changed,
right.
if my thinking was the same, I'd make the same choice over again because that was the best I could do in that moment.
In that particular moment.
We never consciously sit there and go, you know what, all things being equal, I'm going to make this harmful choice.
Yeah. And so what it sounds like, or what it feels like, it just kind of boils down to this fact of giving ourselves some space to recognize the fact that we're doing the best that we can, and sometimes that takes a little tapping for us to get in a space inside of that. Recognizing the fact that this resistance is something that is trying to help me, it's just misinformed or disproportionate, and creating a little space to go, okay, I allow myself to look at what I'm worried about and look at that clearly. And if we just do those three simple things, it puts us into a place that moving forward becomes really attainable. And as I say that, I immediately hear myself say, well, just because it's simple doesn't necessarily mean it's easy.
Yeah. And again, you know, the tapping makes it easier because
right.
It's clearing that resistance at another level. And it gets easier. It's not a guarantee, but we can't, tipping the scales just enough to get moving. It's
yeah.
not necessarily that suddenly all the weights against are going to be pulled off and it's going to be slam dunk. Now I can't even stop myself from moving forward on the most important things, and I'm so productive. It's a learning thing and moving forward, but you know, at least simplifying it, as you said, and setting down those steps and going, okay, I'm going to at least allow myself some space to have the awareness and look at this. And it may be easy. That's the great
yeah.
thing. It might be a whole lot easier than we might go, oh, wow, I can't believe I was waiting so long. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
And we knock it out.
Yeah, I've often found in many of the cases that, you know, a significant chunk of the issue is the worry about the issue, and it's
yeah.
not the actual issue itself. And once the worry evaporates, then the issue topples very, very quickly.
Yeah.
And I guess the big key is just consistently giving ourselves permission to recognize just clearing a little bit makes a big difference. And it doesn't mean that it solves the problem, but it makes a big enough difference that it either gets us taking action or clears space for us to let go of the next thing.
Yeah, it creates that opening so that, you know, while a part of this is brilliantly trying to distract us, that it creates the openness for us to go, wait a minute, maybe there's something going on here.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's just that part of us inside, our higher self, whatever we want to call it, that knows that we deserve more, that we deserve better.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thanks for your time, Brad. I really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
So there you go, another great conversation with Brad Yates. As always, if you'd like more information with Brad, or if you'd like to hear any of the past interviews that I've done with Brad, all you need to do is go to tappingqandapodcast.com, check out the archive there. If you happen to be looking at the episode 175, you will see a link to all the conversations that we've done with Brad over the years, and you can see all of his great contact and resource information. If nothing else, you'd end up on his mailing list, because he sends out some really awesome tap-along videos from time to time. If you would like to work with me over the course of the next 3 months and have just a really amazing summer as you move closer to a goal or two that you're really serious about, go to tappingqandapodcast.com/3M, the number 3, the letter M, so we can have a conversation to see how I can support you as you work towards the goals that you have. If you have a recommendation for a future guest, a future show, a future topic, drop me a note, Gene, G-E-N-E, at tappingqandapodcast.com. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love feedback. And as always, if you know someone out there who could use today's podcast or any of the conversations we've had in the past, be our ambassador. Don't spam your inbox. Don't send it to everybody in the world. But all you need to do is just pass it along. It would mean the world to me, and it would mean that Brad's great work is getting to people that he would never touch on his own or never reach on his own. For the Tapping Q&A podcast, this is Gene Montristelli. I hope you have a great day, and I'll talk to you real soon. Bye-bye. Tapping Q&A podcast is copyright 2015, Gene Montristelli, Tapping Q&A. All views expressed by guests on the Tapping Q&A podcast are that of the guests, and not necessarily of Tapping Q&A and Gene Montristelli.